We're turning for our scripture reading today to Matthew chapter 3. I'd like to read Matthew 3, the first 12 verses. So this is just before Jesus begins his ministry. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that comes? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water, our text describes in these two verses. I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Let's pray. Lord God, you are Lord over all. We thank and praise you that salvation is of you, and that you are God over all, who is renewing the earth and gathering your children from one end of it to the other. You are the one who poured out your Spirit and who pours out your Spirit daily upon your children, and by whom you live in us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we pray that you would grant your blessing in this day as we hear your word, that the power of your Spirit within us would turn our hearts to seek your glory in the face of Jesus. We ask, Lord, for your blessing upon your servants in every place, everywhere that your children, your servants stand to speak in your name, to speak your truth, that it would be in your name, it would be in the name of Jesus. Hear us and help us. Drive the deceiver, the Antichrist, far away in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus, last Monday was supposed to be an easy day. I always like to do a few things on Monday. Clean up, organize, stop in to visit Mrs. Gallant. It's interesting, by the way, with Mrs. Gallant, trying to understand what's going on inside as you visit her. When I go, she always opens her eyes for a little while. It helps if you use her first name. She hears it better somehow. Often she goes to sleep again, or appears to. Sometimes she tries to say something, but I can never make it out. Last week was different again. She was quiet and calm, but her eyes were open all the time, and she responded to prayer at the proper time with Amen. It was beautiful. That was the good moment of Monday. Looking at that and thinking, Spirit is in all of God's children. If we do not have the Spirit, we do not have Christ. What is the work of the Spirit in our sister at this time, in her life, in all of this? What does she hear? What does she know? I don't know. and we trust that she is God's child. By the way, this is also just an encouragement to visit. Do find time in your busy schedules to drop in at Points West and read the Bible with her. There's a hymn book there. Sing a song with her and pray. You might not be sure if she hears you, but you will be blessed. And that's part of it too. But as I said, it was supposed to be an easy day, but it wasn't. One of the organizing things that I like to do is to have the next text of scripture in mind to start thinking about. Last Monday, it should have been obvious. Today is Pentecost. Just go to Acts 2 and speak about the Spirit of God. It's such a great passage, you will never exhaust it. Jesus said, bring out the old and you will find new too. And as I tried to settle on a preaching text, it was like the face of God was turned away. Like the Spirit was withdrawn. And it wasn't just Monday. It was Tuesday too. It's awful to pray and still feel alone. Psalm 27 shows that it does happen, also to God's children. David calls on God in Psalm 27, asking, you, O Lord, do not hide your face from your servant. Now, that only makes sense if that's David's exact experience at that time. He's calling out to God, don't do that. Where have you gone from me? And why? You know, faith in the Lord is not believing a few certain things and trying not to swear. That's not Christian faith. That does not satisfy anybody. Anybody who grows up living that way will lead that way. Hopefully. Faith in Christ is living with God. And sometimes we can feel dry. Now the Lord does not leave his children in the desert forever when we call on him. We have to believe that because he said so. We don't always know how long it will be, but he does not leave us in the desert. Now it's time a message developed. And I hesitate to say it, but over a couple of days, a message developed last week without a text. And in the circles that I grew up in, that is anathema. That's really bad. You don't want to do that. But it was a simple message. A simple message about the need for the Holy Spirit. A simple message about the Spirit of God being the one thing that is needful for us. By the Spirit, the world was created as he hovered over the ground. By the Spirit, the world is recreated. We are born again by the Spirit. Everything of the new life is revealed as the fruit of the Spirit. We are warned, do not quench the Spirit. Do not resist the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that is at war within us, teaching us to say no to sin. The Spirit is the purifying fire of God within. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not have Christ. Suddenly there was a text that I wanted to preach on. Matthew 3. Especially 11 and 12. Where we hear of the baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire. But it's clearly, really, all about Jesus. That is who does it. And I wanted to preach to him. These passages, this passage that we read, the text that we read, it is a warning. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor. Peter says it is time for judgment to begin in the household of God. There is a warning in our text, but the message is not fire and brimstone, as we understand that. Our theme is baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. And I just want to draw out that it is by the name above all names, unto holiness and faith in the truth. Baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire by the name above all names. If you were to read Matthew 3, which we read, what would you think is the focus of the text? In the context, I'd love to actually take time to have people write it out. And that's a good exercise, by the way, to do that sometime with a friend. Read a text. Just give it your thought. Talk about what you think it means. Oh, wow, what? You're going to talk about what I think? No. Talk about what it means. You can't talk about what I think it means. No. It just seemed too much of that. I know we want to find out what it really means. That's the point of talking about what I think it means. We struggle together to understand the real meaning. So anyway, it'd be nice to do that, but that's not what we're here for. But anyway, what should the focus of this text? What is the focus of this text? What should the focus of Pentecost be? Many would say, well, it's obviously the Holy Spirit or the fire of the Holy Spirit. We mentioned a minute ago the absolute necessity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. For faith, for life, for the fight against sin. Paul speaks of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And yet, as we think this way, we often miss the most important thing. No matter what the event or special day in the church year, the focus is always Jesus, or we have missed the point. Even Pentecost. Or next week, Trinity Sunday. If there's no focus on Jesus, something went wrong. What is John's focus in the passage that we read? Is it the Holy Spirit and fire? Not really. If you read it again and think, you see John saying, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. It's all about him and what he's going to do. John does talk about the one coming after him and what he's going to do in you. Talks of giving his Holy Spirit in you. But when the Holy Spirit burns, life is not about you or me. If you remember from Acts 2, the reading there, when the Holy Spirit burned in the disciples, people heard them speaking the mighty deeds of God in their own tongues. Try telling a mighty work of God that is not intended to turn your heart to Jesus. First Adam. Sorry. Second Adam or last Adam. A dove bringing an olive leaf to Noah. Jesus in grace renewing the earth. Exodus from Egypt. Blood of the lamb that protected the house. Well, these are easy. Blood of Jesus in our place. The faith that he gives by his Spirit, saving us from slavery to sin. But though some of them are so easy, you'll find that they're all the same. Joshua, Savior. David, great king. Donkey? Yeah, the donkey too. John is at a high point in his ministry. He is a really big name. When we read this about John, he was such a big name that people were asking, is this the Christ? Crowds. All the people all around were coming to him, to the Jordan, to be baptized, from all Jerusalem, from all around. You really feel important when crowds of people come to hear you. One day the Pharisees and the Sadducees came out too. Imagine that. Wow, the leaders of the people come out to hear me in the desert. They walked all the way out here. They didn't even have cars. To hear me. Wouldn't we be impressed if Mayor and Notley and Trudeau and his cabinet walked in the door? Asked for chair. Sure, we sit them at the front, and I feel so important as I introduce them to everybody, regardless of my politics. What does John Baptist say? Who warns you to flee from the coming wrath? We hardly dare talk about wrath. I fret sometimes. This is honest true. I fret sometimes that I'm too heavy. I bring too much warning. I send you home disheartened. Rather than walking in the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. We watched Pollyanna a couple of months ago, and I'm watching that show, if you know it, you understand. But there's a preacher in that show, and he's always dour, and he's always dumping on the people, he's always beating them down, and I worry, I think, am I like that? That is so bad. The Baptist was not hesitant. You guys think you are so holy. Repent. You think you're already repentant. Produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. Love your neighbor instead of binding heavy burdens on his back and refusing to help him. Are you thinking we're children of Abraham, good to go? God could make children of Abraham out of these stones. The axe is drawn back at the roots of the trees. Do you know that God could make your chair into a child of Abraham? He can make this pulpit into a child of Abraham. What we see here in Matthew is John the Baptist has no interest at all in playing up his popularity and exploiting his position. I baptize you with water for repentance. After me, one so much mightier than I am not even worthy to carry the sandals. I baptize you with water to prepare the way for him, to turn your heart to him. I baptize you with water. He is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. I am not worthy to be his disciple. I am not worthy to be a slave. He must increase. I must decrease. Today is Pentecost. We want to celebrate and give thanks in a way that honors God. I do. I'm sure you do. But what is the key question that you want to honor God? The key question is, does your life exalt the name above all names? Today's Pentecost. We want to celebrate. The key question is, does the fire within burn out sin? Does it point you to the name above all names? So that when you speak words that wound, you see Jesus look at you and those wounds are in his eyes. Does that fire point you to the name above all names so that in the place of envy when others seem more blessed, there's contentment with food and clothing like Jesus said? Instead of greed, a desire to feed, instead of wanting to be served, delighting to serve. Does it point you to the name above all names so that when you think of bearing fruit to God, you want to be a tree? Today is Pentecost. That's when Christ was revealed in power, the name above all names. We went to the mayor's breakfast on Friday morning, interfaith breakfast. The speaker said he had just been talking with a Muslim at his table, and the Muslim had challenged him with, "Do you know that there are 32,000 forms, practices of Christianity?" This was related by the speaker. The number has to do with how many organizations of churches there are in the world with different practices. Different organizations. Humanly speaking. The Muslim cleric's point was, how can this be the truth? They all think they're right. 32,000. My thought was, I know that the pride of men can cause people to wrap themselves in the flag of their expression of the faith. But where the spirit burns, in spite of our differences, the focus is Jesus, the Christ, and the salvation of his blood. In his kingdom and glory, in every language and in every expression of the faith that is from God. That will be the first result of the baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire. And we are called to believe, trust, that we have not John the Baptist's baptism, but that we have the baptism of Jesus in the Holy Spirit, in the name of the triune God. Always remember Romans 6, where Paul says to the people, in light of their temptations to sin, he said, you have been baptized. That speaks of having died and risen to life by the Spirit in God. So, count yourself dead to sin. Trust God. Count yourself dead to sin. And do not let sin reign over your body. Believe the promises. Trust in God. That is who you are. So powerful. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not resist the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. Believe in the blood of Jesus. The second point is that baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire is also resisting sin and bearing fruit to God. But we might ask, how? How does that work? How does it all fit together? How does that go? Baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire under faith and holiness in the truth. Notice I gave truth a capital T. It's actually quite clear that this is the ultimate intent of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. The addition of and fire, the Holy Spirit and fire, makes quite clear that we are baptized under faith and holiness. Fire is often a warning to the wicked of punishment that awaits them. Jesus makes clear that in parables too, that all who do not turn to him will perish. If we do not confess him before men, he will not confess us before the Father. We must trust the mercy of God given in the blood of Jesus to save us rather than in our own works, or we'll get the reward that our works deserve. We said earlier, Christ himself is pictured here as having judgment in his own hands. His winnowing fork is in his hand. Clear threshing floor. You know the picture. I don't know how well you know it, but when they threshed grain in those days, there's a husk over the grain, right? And the husk and the stuff has to blow away. You want the inner hard part. That's what you make good bread out of. And so they would run on it or drive on it and whatever, and then they take a fork and throw the grain up in the air, and the wind would blow. The husk is really light. It blows away on the wind, and the kernel is heavy. It falls to the ground. And by the time you've thrown it up and thrown it up and thrown it up, and the wind's blowing through it, the wind is the spirit. Well, you know, you got good grain left. Everything else is blown away. It'll be burned. That's the picture. But fire is also a symbol of being cleansed. Baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire speaks of being purified by the Spirit, turned away from wickedness, formed into kernels of wheat that are not burned up, but that are taken into the barn for food and for new crop, precious to God. Fire was used to purify silver until you could see your face in it like a mirror. That is a beautiful analogy of being made in the image of God and purified by the Spirit until God can see his face in us. But again, how does that happen? How does all this fit together with what we said about the focus of Pentecost being Jesus? How does the Spirit work as a fire, purifying us like silver or gold, making us like wheat to be stored, not chaff to be separated and burned? Why is it so important on Pentecost to let the gift of the Spirit focus our eyes on Jesus rather than give you a how-to on how to do everything under the sun? I'm not saying there's no place for how-to ever. Probably more of it. This is important because he is the Spirit of truth. And as such, he gives witness to the truth. That is his first task, to give witness to the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. And Jesus said, when he comes, he will witness to me. We are not purified by some mystical fire within. And we are not purified by a how-to book. We are purified by the working of faith within as we draw near to Jesus and we see the mercy and the grace and the glory of God. We're back to Jesus again. Why? Well, something that struck me as I was meditating on Acts 2 last week. You ever reflected on the gift of the Spirit as tongues of fire? Probably have. I often thought of Scripture at that point just describing separation. The Spirit was given, was poured out, and it separated. And it came upon each one. And the fire often looks like a tongue, so it looked like a fire. And so each one has a little something that looks like a fire, and fire looks like that. It's broad, wide on the bottom and narrow on the top, like a tongue. So that's kind of the picture in my head. But then you're looking at all this and you realize, oh, wait, with the tongues of fire, their tongues are also loosed, and they spoke in tongues. And what they did was tell the world the praiseworthy deeds of God, which are all about Jesus. And this was the purifying power that was poured out. It's Pentecost. But what I want to say is that even the purifying fire of the Holy Spirit is fanned by speaking of Jesus. And you might think, wow, he is sounding like a broken record today. Well, of course we should say more. And we will. Another day. but it's Pentecost. And Pentecost, also in its purifying fire, is about Jesus. The gospel is about Jesus. Our hope is in Jesus. The new world is through faith in Jesus. The kingdom of God is by faith in Jesus. Why am I repeating myself? It's not because I didn't know what to say. It's because of the world we live in. We all want to talk about the Spirit and faith, but not about Jesus. And the necessity of faith in Him for any good to come. I mentioned, we went to the interfaith breakfast on Friday. Many Christians were there. The speaker was the former moderator of the United Church of Canada. I wasn't sure what to expect, but I was interested. And he had many good things to say about community, about interdependence, about faith. But that former moderator of Canada's church, so to speak, the United Church, the idea that faith in Jesus is the key, that God sent His only Son into the world to save us through trust in Him, to make a new world through those who know Him and are known by Him, and what we do in response to Him, that was not just omitted. It was denied. It was spoken of as probably very much involved with the biggest problem in the world. Way beyond anything I've heard before in that sense. The idea that we would try to encourage people to see Jesus as the truth, the hope of God going out into the world, calling everybody to believe in Him and to know Him. That was anathema. What did John the Baptist say? What is the meaning of Pentecost? God is going to purify His children and change the whole world. We're together so far. But here's where we part company. John said, with so many in the world, John said, by the fire of witness to Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He is doing. It is not just the Spirit in us that makes us holy by some mysterious fire burning within. The Spirit must be in us to open our hearts, or we will not hear. And He must be in us to disturb our sleep so that when the troubles come into our lives, we know what to do with them. We know where to bring them. And they strengthen us instead of destroying us. We need the Spirit. And He is real. And He is in us. And He is at work. We are temples of God. But we are made holy as our ears hear and we believe the sacrifice of God. We are made holy as our ears hear and we see our sin in that light, and that changes everything. We're made holy as our ears hear and we believe that in Jesus, as I said, even our sufferings are intended to make us perfect. To form us into the image of Jesus Christ more and more. That's what was said of Jesus in Hebrews 5. How much more so of us who are made in His image and have so much farther to go. We are made holy as our ears hear and we see the beauty of the kingdom of God and we believe that we are made citizens of that kingdom to follow that king. We, like John, are not worthy in ourselves even to be servants of this God, but He has taken hold of us and said, "You are my child. Serve me in my family." There is joy. There is hope. Don't be afraid to say, "I know the truth." When you say you know the truth, you're saying, I know Jesus. If you're saying you know everything, you're a loser. But you're saying, I know Jesus. That much I know. And that is powerful. This is Pentecost. Listen to Jesus. And let the fire burn. That's the response of faith that honors God. And we will rejoice today. And we will come to rejoicing every day in Jesus. Amen.